Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to episode 67.
67.
Of the Calypso 67. Cigar Review Podcast.
Nice.
As always, in the lovely Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge in Richardson, Texas.
And we're going to do our second Ashton, and actually our first true Ashton that we've ever done, donated to us by the great Nate Rowland, our buddy and friend and lover. No, I'm sorry, not our lover. But anyway, he's a cool dude. Love the guy to death.
Nate Rowland. An American hero.
He is. He's kind of like G.I. Joe.
American hero.
He is like G.I. Joe.
Fuck yeah.
so this is the Ashton ESG.
This stick
torpedo.
Is a $25 stick.
I cannot find anything about it on the internet.
It's that rare.
Randy, Brandon, what are you seeing about, what are you looking at the
I looked up Ashton ESG and it came up virgin.
Or not veiny. It's pretty lumpy and rustic.
It is, considering that it's a $25 cigar. It's a little lumpier than I expected.
You look at the band, and I'm seeing five or six plates. The band itself must have cost them some money.
Oh, the band's beautiful, though.
The band is beautiful. You can, I feel like if I shook it around, you're going to see your future come up. It's like, should we order pizza?
Magic 8-Ball?
Yeah, it's got some serious artwork on it. I mean, there's like a picture on here of like trees with a reflection in the water, and then you got like a shot of like Esteli. It's like ridiculous.
Hey. Jared's the rep for Ashton. He either keeps great notes or he's got a killer memory. Because I've only met him like three times. And he called me the other day and I answered the phone. I didn't give him my name. He goes, is this Matt or Randy? And I'm like, Randy? Hey, this is Jared with Ashton. I'm like, wow, how did you know? That was one of the two options.
Jared's actually the reason I wanted to become a rep.
Yeah.
I was working over at Chamberlain Steak and Chop House and we did our first cigar dinner since the 90s. And Jared walks in this seersucker suit and he is just telling people what it is, what time it is, how the cigar is. We did a three-course, three-cigar dinner, finishing with VSG before ESG came out. And honestly, outside of Tom Selleck, Jared Bioko would be my first man crush of all time. He's a pimp.
I kind of have a man crush on Tom Selleck. He's one of my... I've got three man crushes. Costner, Tom Selleck, and I can't remember the third, so go the hell, everybody else. I can't remember the third. Oh, Steve Carell. Steve
Jared
Carell, I'm sorry.
Jared Bioka, a guy from high school named Victor
Oh, and
Vogel.
Brandon Holdsworth. No, you're my fourth man crush, yes.
No. Wow.
And Brandon Luna would be my fifth.
The year of uncomfortability.
I love you, bro.
I love you, too, bro. Cigar Lounge. And that is Brandon Holdsworth, by the way, if you didn't know, because we didn't introduce him.
No,
we didn't. I'm Brandon Luna.
I'm Randy Rankin.
And I am Brian Holdsworth.
Never going to let me live that down.
No, but that was so awesome. I've rewatched that opening. I haven't rewatched that episode that many times, but I've rewatched that opening at least 20 times.
It's hilarious.
It's funny as shit.
Today, my kids were like, are you going to be on their show again? And I go, yeah. He goes, well, you need to make sure that you write a piece of paper that lets him know what your name is. I was like, it's his name, too.
Right. I know, right?
I love your line. You're like, how hard was that to fuck up? Okay, we're pairing. We didn't mention our last episode. We paired with the Belhaven Scottish Ale, which is awesome beer.
Delicious.
And yes, we're recording the same night. But hey, we're pulling back the curtain. That's what we do in this place. We're drinking out of the Garrison Brothers Texas Bourbon Glencairn glasses. But we're drinking Woodford Reserve.
Yeah. So that might be a sin of some
Woodford
sort.
Woodford is Angel's Tears.
Woodford is one of the best bourbons. Period.
It's very tasty.
So let's cut.
Double Oak?
Yes.
Yeah, Double Oak's badass.
Dude, they're all good. Mm-hmm. They're all delish.
Yeah, Woodford is one of the best.
So the cold draw.
Why haven't cold draw? Oh, we're cutting with our Monte Cristo cigar cutter donated to us by Altadis USA.
And
the great Eddie Gavito. We
Question
love Eddie.
For you. When you guys are out and someone asks for a cigar, do you ever give them a torpedo or does it piss
no,
you?
No, I rarely give people torpedoes. Because a lot of times they either have a punch or they have a blocked cutter.
That's why I love my... My favorite cutter is... it's a little Cuban Crafters, and it's got the hole for the torpedo, and it's got that little back to it, so you cut every cigar perfect. It's like if it's a torpedo, if it's not a torpedo, every cigar gets cut.
It's dummy-proof, basically.
It's great. Yeah. I love it, though. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to run the show, and I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to interview you guys.
Go for it.
We've been interviewed by several people lately.
Yep, Robert Patrick. If you can do better than Robert Patrick, then go for it.
And Scott Wilson.
So what is your history with Ashton? Have you tried Cabinet, Heritage, VSG? Have you guys tried all the others?
Mm-hmm. I have not. This is like the second Ashton I've ever had.
The only one we've reviewed was the La Roma de Cuba, which is a great cigar.
It's
the
great
El
cigar.
Jefe, I think it was, that we smoked. Or no, it's the Mia Moore, which is a great cigar. Personally, when people come into the store and ask for a mild Connecticut tasty cigar and they're willing to spend $8 to $15, because we always ask price range. What are you looking in the price range? Because you know, and I'm not bragging, and Brandon, the reason why Brandon is a customer of the store, the reason why I became a customer of the store, is that we...
Fire.
We Solid. Want to... Nate, same thing. We ask you what you're looking for. Not... You come in and say, hey, what's your most expensive cigar? We're not going to say, oh, we've got Opus. We're not going to do that. We're like, what do you like? And we'll walk you through the process. And if someone says they're willing to spend $8 to $12 for a mild cigar that has a lot of flavor, I mentioned three cigars. The Rocky Patel 99, the Dunhill Aged.
You get paid 50 cents every time.
No, I don't. I wish we did. Dude, if I did, I'd be so rich. But anyway, so the Rocky Patel 99, the Dunhill Aged, which have you had that? Is an incredible Connecticut. Nate's a huge fan. And the Ashton Cabinet. Those are my. I think those are the three best mild Connecticuts you can get on the market, period, hands down. And if $8 to $12 is your price range, and you want Connecticut, those are what you go for. Now, are there more complex Connecticuts? Yes, the New Wave by E.P. Carrillo, the long since gone.
Leave a Connecticut Reserve. That's not a dope cigar.
Not bad. You know, if you that's in the $6-$7 range, and that's what I recommend. And I'll even do the Reserve Aralba.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Reserve Aralba is a great
staple.
Connecticut. Yeah, absolutely. The Romeo and Juliet Reserve Aralba. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that cigar. I would recommend a Reserve Aralba over a Macanudo any day of the week, and it's $2-$3 less than a Macanudo. Absolutely. So
Brandon, how long have you been smoking cigars, man?
Oh.
About 6 weeks?
Yeah, about. Yeah. Well, no,
we've done like 68 episodes.
Yeah, about 4 years, I guess.
Right on.
4 years.
Who turned you on to originally smoking some sticks?
Oh, back in the day, man. Well, see, okay, I had a big break. When I first got into cigars, it was like early 90s. And then I got married, and the cigars stopped once I had kids just because I didn't have the money for it. Yeah. And then I got back into it recently, and it was two people that got me back into it. This guy named Chip Kenlock I work with, and a buddy of mine named Stephen Foles. And they both stepped me back into cigars with the Rocky Patels and the Alec Bradleys. And I was really, it was at the point where I wasn't buying cigars. They were giving me their cast-offs. I go out with them, and it's like, hey, need a cigar? Boom, here's something. That's so they were BOTLs and just handed cigars out, you know? And that was really what got me back into cigars. And then I started researching on my own, getting into it and finding out what I liked, reading all the stuff
cigar
on the blogs.
Nerd.
Yeah,
cigar.
Reading all the stuff on the blogs. What is this? Why do I like it? You know, what can I find that's similar to it? And just really reading up. And then I found this place because it was close to work. And I went to two places. I went to Stafford & Jones. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Great store.
And then I went here.
Great store.
This place was the one that won me over because they were more interested in what do you like? What are you smoking currently? Let's recommend you a couple other things that might be similar. Mm-hmm. And that was
kind of
why.
And I don't know, and I'm not bragging again, but I've been to hundreds of cigar stores. I can think of three that actually do that, where we actually say to you, what do you like? Why do you like that? Mm-hmm. What can I do? Okay, here's something that's similar to that. We don't carry that, but here's something similar to what you like. And you know what? We get return customers because of that very reason.
Absolutely.
Okay. And my cigar history is, you didn't ask me, but I'm going to do myself.
I'm hosting the store.
I'm sorry.
Brandon, what are you getting on the light? What are you getting? I'm getting some citrus. I'm getting like a citrusy leather. What are you getting over there?
I'm getting a lot of leather and a lot of creaminess. So I'm not getting the citrus yet like you are, but I do have like, it's like a tinge of, it's almost like a bitterness, but I guess you could see that as a citrus probably.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so Randy.
Yes.
I don't know you. We just met.
We've never met.
What would you say is that keystone moment that made you one of us a cigar nerd?
Wow. It was probably 96, 97. We were at a karaoke place and, I'd been in my 20s for a while, but I hadn't realized the beauty of being old enough to drink and smoke. Oh, drink. I started drinking, but
so good.
I was drinking Jim Beam and Coke, so I don't know if that counts as me being a drinker at that point. But
we all start somewhere, brother.
Yeah, I know. And I was at a bar, and this guy pulled out a cigar, and I was like, dude, I want to smoke a cigar. I've never smoked a cigar. My wife's like, you're 26. Why haven't you smoked a cigar if you wanted to smoke one? I'm like, it never occurred to me. And so the guy's like, you've never had a cigar? And I said, no. And he pulled out a Macanudo Prince Philip, which is the Churchill.
It's the starting point most of us have is a Macanudo.
And he cut it and lit it for me. And I just was so mesmerized by the process. I was like, wow, this is an art. I mean, it's not like a cigarette. You just flick and pull out of a pack and light it.
It's like a Japanese tea ceremony.
Yeah. Yeah. He had to cut this, and he had to light it for a while. And I'm like, what are you doing there? So I'm making sure it's burning evenly, because what'll happen is it'll canoe on you and all that stuff. I'm like, canoe? What's that mean? He goes, you'll know that term later and everything. I'm like, hey, you're the pro. Let me know. I'm cool. And I smoked the whole fucking thing, and I got so green. I got so fucking green because it was a Churchill.
And you were inhaling it.
You were jailing it.
No, I wasn't an inhaler, but I was just smoking it fast.
Okay.
And I probably went through this Prince Philip, which I think is like a 7 by 48. It's the typical Churchill size. And having never smoked one, and on top of Jim Beam and Coke.
America.
With this.
America.
With this Prince Philip, I was like green. So my wife's like, we got home, because her uncles, her two favorite uncles smoke cigars, so she loved the smell of it on me. She was like, we had a lot of sex that night, it was great. But she was like, what did you think of that cigar? And I'm like, I kind of liked it, but I don't think I want anything that big ever again. That's too big for me.
That's what she said.
I know.
And that's when you were like, I want to marry you.
Exactly.
Don't leave a man hanging there. Don't ever.
Well, I started it. He left me for a second. Yeah. Anyway, so I was kind of like, I kind of like this cigar thing. It's kind of cool. And I went probably a couple of weeks, and Jeff Smith from Sublime and James
dude.
Norman,
good
very
dude.
Cool dude. Jeff owned a cigar store. I didn't know Jeff from Adam. And I went in, and it's kind of like it was a lunch break, and I was like, I think I would like a cigar at lunch break. That would be kind of cool. Can you do that, or is a cigar something you're supposed to just smoke? I mean, I was so a noob. I had no clue. And so I went in, and I talked to Jeff.
So what were you doing at this time? What were you?
I was in sales for an internet travel company. Pre-Expedia and...
Pre-dot-com blowout.
It was kind of when the dot-com started, you know. And
people were making a shit.
Yeah, we were making actually money in the dot-com industry.
Yeah.
And so I went in and I talked to Jeff, and I saw this... Shut up, Nate. So I saw that it was a Frank Sinatra cigar.
Mm.
And I remember this, and Jeff remembers this conversation, even though we did not know each other. I said, so there's a Frank Sinatra cigar? I'm a Sinatra guy. You know my music taste. I'm all over the map.
All over the board, brother.
Yeah. And so I said, I want to smoke a Sinatra cigar. He's like, it's a Dominican. It's really mild. Are you sure you want to smoke it? And I said, well, I've just started. So, yeah, that's probably what I want to do. He goes, okay. He goes, you know Sinatra's not a cigar smoker. He's a cigarette smoker. I said, well, yeah, but I don't care. Sinatra was dope.
Ultimately,
he was dope. Yeah.
Sinatra was awesome. If everybody could live Sinatra's life, you've lived a good life. But anyway, so
I died really young.
Yeah,
not many of us could take the amount of abuse that man put on.
Exactly.
No kidding.
So anyway, so I bought one and I loved it. And this is right around Christmas time. And so that was only the second cigar. And then Christmas, my wife bought me a humidor, and had all her friends buy me cigars.
That's nice.
It was so awesome. Probably had like 30, 40 cigars, and that just got me into it.
It solidified it for
me. I was like, okay, I'm the cigar dude of this group of friends that we have, and I'm going to smoke cigars anytime we're around anybody. Yeah.
And they can't say anything because they bought them for
me. Yeah, exactly. So that was my history. That's where I got started, and I've been smoking. And I used to be only smoke Friday and Saturday nights because I just wanted them to be a relaxing ritual. I didn't want to smoke on Sunday because I knew I had to go to work on Monday. But, boy, that has gone to hell in a handbasket.
The follies of youth.
Yeah. I started with the Macanudo Portofino. That was what, you know, the guys would go out together and go out to a bar, mm-hmm. and they'd have a small humidor, and you'd grab the Macanudo Portofino, and you'd smoke that. And that was really, I was a, you know, buy them as a smoke them kind of guy. Yeah. I never had a humidor until recently.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny now that when, you know, I don't want to say we're like the Jedi, but when someone comes in.
But we are.
Like, hey, do you got any Macanudo? You just feel like you want to put your arm around him and go, there's more out there, buddy.
Right.
Follow
me, young Padawan.
Yeah, don't marry the first girl you sleep with.
When I walked into this store for the first time, under Matt's ownership, I was looking for the Portofino. That was the cigar, and we've told the story, but you haven't heard it. Looking for the Portofino, and Matt didn't carry it. And so I'm thinking, well, this place sucks. You don't have Macanudo Portofino? What the fuck kind of place is this?
You guys got slot machines in the back? I knew nothing. Porn? What do you
have? I knew nothing about boutiques at all. And Matt's like, not that he pointed me to a boutique, but he's like, you had the Porto Real. It's the Romeo and Juliet version of the Portofino, and it's cheaper. And it kind of pissed me off, and I bought it. And I remember coming back and telling my wife, like, I don't like that dude. That dude pisses me off. He was too pushy. And then I got home, and I smoked it, and I was like, wow, he knew what he was talking about. And I'm like, I actually took the time to actually find out what I liked. So I'm like, I think I'll go back. And I lived in Allen, which is 30 miles from here. And I came back to the store because of Matt.
You know, when you first meet Matt, and he comes at you, mm-hmm. and he hits you with some questions, mm-hmm. and for a lot of people, this is my interpretation.
And I agree with
that. They're not used to someone who actually cares
mm-hmm. yeah.
that they're putting you with the right cigar. It comes across as he's, are you talking down to me? Are you? I don't know you, but it sounds like you're asking me, you know, like, mm-hmm. do you like cake? Okay, mm-hmm. what do you like about carrot cake? Do you like the shit that gets in your teeth? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I first came in and I heard him talking, I thought, I don't know how to take this guy. Because mm-hmm. he comes at you and he's asking you questions. Because, yeah. you know, when you come in and say, I'm looking for a cigar, and you're a noob, he asks you some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And once you realize this guy actually gives a shit about what you're smoking, it really does change. You know, because I'm sure a lot of guys come in and they're like, man, I want a cigar. I didn't come in here to talk to people. I want a cigar.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once someone puts something in your hands that you're like, dude, this is the shit,
mm-hmm.
that's what really puts yeah. a lot of it in perspective. Okay, so now that we've got the pre-light going on, what are you guys thinking? I think it is not heavy. I would say it's a medium at best.
Yeah.
But it has a lot of flavor. I mean, this is not a boring cigar.
No, there's some complexity going on.
It's
retrohale's nice on it.
Yeah, it's got a smooth retrohale.
I mean,
which,
you could literally retrohale 90% of what's coming
like
out of this.
It's like roasting a marshmallow through your nose.
Yeah. And but yet, ton of flavor. I've got a really good burn. I don't know if you can see that, but I've got a really good burn. And I hate torpedoes.
But
I like torpedoes.
It's got a wide open draw. Well, that's all we carry. Sorry.
I don't mind torpedoes. No, actually, there's a lot of torpedoes that I like.
They look really great when your friends come over, but for a pro, you're a Toro, Churchill, or Robusto guy.
Or Corona and Lancero.
Yeah, yeah. But you don't want that fancy. The fancy tip. That's mm-hmm. for saying, hey, brothers, look what I'm smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I spent two extra but dollars.
For, this but looks kind of like a nipple.
But for a torpedo, this open draw, and this draw is wide yeah. open, and it's got waftage.
That's the thing, is you got to know how to roll a cigar to roll a nice torpedo. That takes some talent to risk. Torpedoes and Lanceros, probably the two most
Here's
difficult.
The deal,
I've heard.
Back in the 90s, when the boom hit. Mm-hmm. Everybody talks about the boom like it's the glory days of the 20s. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, the
We're
torpedo...
We're a bigger boom now than we are then. Totally. People don't know it.
But back in the 90s, when the torpedo hit,
mm-hmm.
it was... There weren't a whole lot of folks that could roll a torpedo. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest. We take DeVry, we take any of these schools of computer science, and they're all focused on these big things. Now the torpedo is not as hard to roll as it was back then mm-hmm. when you had so few people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean... If there was a size that you preferred, what would be exactly, I'm going to start with you, Luna, what would be the size, what is your preferred shape and style? What is your ring gauge? Do you prefer a Perfecto? Do you prefer, you know, what, if there was a Luna cigar, if you were going to put your name on something, regardless of where it's from, what it's made of, what would be the Luna standard?
That is
what
a great question.
For?
I would be rolling a Corona. I love Coronas. They're my favorite smokes. Just, I mean, you get a lot of flavor because it's mostly wrapper. There's less binder. There's less filler. And it gives you the definition of that cigar. I think if you roll a good Corona, you can turn it into a good Robusto and a good Toro and everything else.
Now, have you ever tried... Now, here's the thing. A lot of people blend to a certain size. Like
yeah.
You and I go in, and we're going to have, you know, Ron Mexico. And I've used this 100 times because I love the name Ron Mexico.
It is
if
a great
you and
name.
I were to go in and create the Ron Mexico,
yeah, we
we're going to blend okay. to one specific size. But what a lot of people don't realize is that when Ron Mexico goes in to blend his cigar, he wants to blend it to that shape and size.
Right.
They're not thinking about the Corona. They're thinking Ron Mexico loves a Toro because that's America's number one size.
Yeah.
Mm.
Now, Randy, let me ask you. Are you a Corona guy? What now? When you say Corona, are you talking the ring gauge or are you talking the length? Because if you put a Lancero in front of me,
yeah,
I'm a Lancero.
I'm a Lancero guy.
I love Lanceros.
Yeah, I'm a Lancero guy, probably more so than Corona. But a lot of times you don't have enough time to smoke a Lancero.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fortunately I do because I'm here all the time. But like if I were at home and I only had 45 minutes to an hour to get away to smoke something, Corona, I think you get the most flavor out of Corona and Lancero. And if I were to design my cigar, it would be a box press Corona, a 6x44 box press Corona, and I would be that would just be my heaven of a cigar.
Now my problem with Lancero is in Texas, Lancero at maybe less than a handful of stores. Now, you know, when it comes to cigar nerds and cigar whores, Lancero's the shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to sales, Lanceros don't and Coronas shit. Are shit. Are shit.
Yeah, well, Coronas sell big here. Lanceros don't sell worth a shit. And I've put the Oliva V Lancero in so many people's hands. It's and to not like that cigar is ridiculous, in my opinion.
It's a crime.
But I'll put it, you know, we tell every rep, and I know we've told you, you know, when they bring us a new line, we say, we'll sell the first cigar. But the cigar has to sell itself after that. And I've sold so many Oliva V Lanceros, and so few people have come back to it. And I want to know why.
Yeah.
Because that cigar is amazing.
You know, it's a great cigar. The way that it works is when they walk in, they look at you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're the guy behind the register. Mm-hmm. What are you smoking?
Mm-hmm.
They look at you right now and go, "What are you smoking?" And you'd say, "I'm smoking an Ashton Estate Sun Grown Torpedo." And they'd go, "Where's that at?" You know, with a lot of these stores. You know, what a lot of people don't realize in this industry is how many people want to smoke what you're smoking because you're in the know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're Randy. Dude, Randy's there every time I go in, and Randy smokes a shit ton of cigars. I want to smoke what he's smoking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when they walk in, how many Lanceros are you actually smoking?
About 2 a week.
Okay, so 2 out of 7 days of how many hour shifts?
Yeah, you know, 6 to 8. You know. Yeah. So out of 20 cigars a week, probably. I smoke 2 Lanceros, but I probably smoke 5 Coronas.
And that explains why the Antonio Peligroso sells like crap.
It sells
like crazy here because you guys are always smoking that cigar.
Yeah, it's a great cigar. Although I haven't had one in a couple weeks. We need to take a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. We'll come back for the more discussion with Brandon Holdsworth.
The legend Cornelius.
All right, we're back for the second third of the Ashton ESG
Only our
torpedo.
Second Ashton review and our first true Ashton.
Yep. Thank you, Nate, for the Ashton.
Would I pay $25 for this? Probably not, because I wouldn't pay $25 for shoes. I'm a cheapskate. But
he shops at the Payless.
Let me ask
you a question, Randy.
But seriously,
taking $25 into account, all right, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say that if you were to go to a liquor store, not saying we go to liquor stores more than maybe once to 4 times a week.
Closer to 4, but that's okay.
If you could buy, taking into account that it's $25,
mm-hmm.
like myself personally, beautiful cigar, beautiful experience. I'm hanging out with you guys, and you know, with cigars, it's mainly...
That's what it's about, it's the hangout.
It's the experience, yeah. And I would pay $25 100 times to have this experience with you guys. So this ESG, for me, with the bros, so say like your father-in-law's coming into town, you want to put something in his hand that blows his mind, you're going to go with the ESG. Mm-hmm. You're going to go with the Anniversario Padron.
Or the Opus or whatever, yeah.
But take that $25 on your own, for your own experience. You're in your garage, partially cracked, you got the bug zapper going on. What is your cigar for chilling at the house that doesn't have the magnificent band and flavor that this cigar has? What are you going to smoke yourself?
Well, everyone knows on the show, and the cigar I'm going to pick does have a magnificent band.
I'm in Mexico.
Yes. No, it's a cigar called Macanudo. No, I'm joking. I like to throw Macanudo under the bus, but everyone knows that I actually respect Macanudo. It's a great cigar.
I'd love to have that in my line.
But no, I'm a... Alec Bradley Tempest.
Okay, so your opinion is null. Brandon, let's go to you.
You don't like the Alec Bradley Tempest?
No, I do. I love Alec Bradley. Glenn Case is a great guy.
The Tempest, to me, is everything I want in a cigar. It's full-bodied. It's full-flavored. It doesn't kick you in the balls, unless you are a noob. It will kick you in the balls.
Do they have the black market?
Alec Bradley?
Yeah
that's
because I love black market. Yeah, that's my jam.
The Tempest is my favorite cigar, and probably will always be my favorite cigar, because while I've loved... everything House Emilio does, and I'm not just saying that because we've talked off mic. We've talked off mic that everything House of Emilio does is amazing, and everything Alec Bradley does isn't amazing. But when Alec Bradley gets it right, they get it right, and I think, you know, the fact that Prensado won Cigar of the Year and Tempest is never even ranked is mind-boggling to me, because I think the Tempest is so much better than the Prensado.
I love a lot of Alec Bradley stuff. They have some great marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my side of it's a little bit different than, you know, a lot of other people's sides, because, you know, as a cigar rep, you you take your own cigars and you take that band and that flawless wrapper and the box presentation. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brandon, what are the cigars that you looked at and right offhand you thought, this presentation, this flawless wrapper, what are the cigars that just, and don't take any of my cigars into account. I want to know what your pure, you know, your 17-year-old Vietnamese girl looking for a husband in America. Tell me what you're looking at.
I'm just showing my ass because I'm about to ash it, but I've got a license.
I had a big hard-on for Ligas for a while. I mean, I was really into, not even, the band was very simple. It almost looked homemade.
Totally clean, though.
Yeah, totally clean, beautiful band. I was in love with the number 9, the T52. I even liked the Undercrowns for a phase. The Undercrown Corona Viva, one of my favorite Coronas. Great cigar.
Yeah, great factory, great family.
And since then, I've kind of moved over to the Tatuaje side. I like a lot of what Tatuaje does. I really, really love the Nuella Reserva. And I understand they're not making them anymore, so that's horrible.
I hate it when I diss.
But I really loved the Tatuaje Nuella line. The Regio line, also very, very good.
See, now, I was a huge Padron whore. And when the Tat Red labels came out, I thought, at the time, remember their price points were a lot lower.
Yeah.
And when the Tat Red label came out, I thought, this is something that totally does truly compare with that. Mm. You're still not drinking because you're a puss.
Been drinking.
No, I'm talking to Luna. Yeah. Brian Luna.
Brian Luna. We're switching to Maker's Mark now.
Now, Randy, on the retailer side, I mean, you see a lot of guys that come in and they're like, I want a Liga. I want a Liga.
Yeah, we've got our...
What do you push people to?
Okay. We've got certain people. We've got a guy that I don't know why he does this, and we've tried to talk him out of it. Comes in about 4 or 5 times a week and buys 5 Liga number 9 Robustos. At a time. And we're like, you know, you realize if you bought a box, you'd get a 10% discount. You know what? You know,
Bellicoso is the way to go for me on that.
But, I love Bellicoso.
Well, Bellicoso is great.
Apparently, he's a salesman and he doesn't have that much time, so Robusto works for him. But it's like, you know, because once again, complimenting us here that we're not in it for the buck. I mean, you know, it's like everyone, we have a business, we're in it for the buck, but the buck isn't the bottom dollar. But, so we're telling the guy, it's like, you know, if you bought a box, which you're going to smoke in a week, you get a 10% discount. But his thing is if he bought a box, he'd smoke them in 2 days. Mm-hmm. So he buys 5 a day, 4 or 5 nights a week.
You actually have to look at the logic behind it.
Yeah.
If you have it, you have it.
Yeah.
You know, I run into a lot of these retail stores that say, we don't do events because these guys will come in, they'll buy a box of cigars, mm-hmm. and they'll get a half a box or an ashtray or whatever it is for free, and then we don't see them for a certain period of time. Yeah. What a lot of these retail stores that I see don't realize is the more cigars that they have, mm-hmm. the more they're like to be like, hey, Luna, let's go for a power walk around the neighborhood and smoke a cigar. Or, hey, brother-in-law, let's have a cigar and talk trash about our father-in-law. Mm-hmm. Let's do this, let's do this. And, you know, they're not... With this guy, he's actually seeing that. If I have more cigars, I'm going to smoke some more cigars.
And that happens. And but as far as Liga goes, Nate buys a lot of Liga.
He started off. He was a big Liga guy for a while.
And we've changed him, but he still loves the Liga.
They're and not great
that
stick, man.
Not that we've changed him in a negative way, like, ooh, Liga sucks. But, one, they've got that Liga rarity. It's hard to get.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's be honest. There's not that many people that can roll them.
I'm sure.
I've been to the factory.
Yeah,
they have one little room off to the right side.
And like they had that flood a couple years ago that ruined it. I understand that.
But, and they age them too. So
So when someone comes in and says, hey, I want a Liga Privada, when we don't have them, which is rare because we are a Liga store and we do have it most of the time. But there are times when we don't have it, so then we'll do the whole, okay, what do you like about Liga? And so if someone comes in asking for a Liga Privada number 9, and we don't have it, I'll usually try to point them to what we have in store, a Rocky 15th, because they're similar in strength, they're similar in flavor.
Ezra Zion Tantrum, man.
The Ezra Zion Tantrum.
No, that's a man cigar right there.
That's a man cigar.
Yeah, the Tantrum is even more balls to the wall than a Liga
could ever be. It is, but I mean, that's a step up.
Yeah, it is.
You want to step up from the 9, try a Tantrum.
So, seriously, not just saying
I know what you're saying.
It's a progression.
You're looking
thing.
At it a car ways. You're like, okay, you could drive the Toyota Tercel, okay, mm-hmm. or you could drive the Bentley I have a huge cock deal.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, because you, I mean, as a cigar smoker, you kind of get to that point where it's like, okay, I'm smoking medium-bodied stuff. Well, now I'm smoking. Someone handed me a full-bodied. This is badass. I might take a couple to get me into the full-bodied stuff. But then that's all you want, yeah. really, you know?
But not to kiss up, because we sell a shitload of them. But the Jamais Vu, I think, is equal in strength and flavor.
That's a nuanced cigar, man.
To, you know what, to the Liga number 9. And to be honest, I would rather have a Jamais Vu than a number 9.
I work for the company, so you know, my opinion is entered. And when you get into cigars, you have guys that smoke cigars, not because this band is absolutely gorgeous, because this band looks like something that would have been on the Outer Limits. You know what I mean? It'd be like, you know, yeah.
It's amazing, yeah.
It's an amazing. But when you get into a lot of cigars, people want a lot of those names.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you said you came out with Drew Estates, and then, you know, your tastes change. Mm. Not saying that they were bad cigars, but we've all revisited those cigars that we started with.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
What would be that cigar, those cigars that when you think about your early day smoking, I'm talking before your first, you know, your first marriage. Mm. What were those cigars that you started off smoking on?
It was the Macanudos, man. It was all Macanudo Portofinos and probably a couple of Fuentes here and there. But the ones that, I mean, really, that was casual smoking. Mm-hmm. When I really got into it, the ones that I don't revisit enough now, but I still like them, Rocky 92.
Rocky 92, I always called that the poor man's Padron.
It's a great
cigar.
I've always called it a good friend.
It is a good friend. Yeah.
The Padron 1000 line. I mean, you know, 2000, the 5000. I was smoking those by the bundle, man.
I put a housing addition on that compound. Last March, when the Ezra Zion boys took me down to Nicaragua, we drove past the Padron compound, and all I could think was, there needs to be a hallway here that has my name on it.
Right.
3000, 6000s, I spent, that was 3 years of my life.
Yeah. I understand.
And that Padron's another one that I really gravitate towards. When I know I want something and it's an old friend that I know it's going to be a good cigar, I'll go for a Padron. Mm-hmm. 64 is freaking awesome. 64 Maduro is beautiful.
I prefer the 64 over the 26.
Yeah, I do too.
And price not being an issue, I would still smoke the 64.
What's weird is on the 26s, I prefer the natural over the Maduro, but in the 64, I prefer the Maduro.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Although the Esteban Carreras 10 Años, which is the 26 Maduro, I love that, but I think it's better than the 26 Maduro. I don't understand it.
If you take into account like El Rey del Mundo, Robusto, Suprema, the Oscura.
Oh, with the paper wrapper?
Paper.
That's a fucking great cigar, man. Nobody knows about it.
And, you know, it's been around a million years.
Yep.
And it is
I'm part of a B&M and I've never heard of it.
Dude, it's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great cigar.
Jesus, good. All right, so Brandon, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. We are going on a road trip. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going on a...
Road trip!
We're about to have 12 hours in front of us. And I look at you and say, I'm taking care of the gas. You're taking care of the smokes. What are we smoking on
Ooh,
a road
good
trip?
Question.
Ooh.
Good question. I wish I'd have asked you that question.
Yeah, that's a good one, man.
All right, so the first hour, because you got to remember, we're going to stop and we're going to get chips. Then we're going to move into beef jerky.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we're going to move into Red Bull and more beef jerky.
5 Hour Energy. And
okay, so we're going to start off light.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring a couple of Cubans. Because we're gonna start us off
Which
light.
Cubans?
I'm gonna bring Don't some. I'm with... gonna bring some. I'm gonna bring some punch.
Romeo Short Churchill?
No. I'm gonna bring some. Yeah. Okay. San Cristobal de la Habana El Principes, which is a great floral light smoke. It's very good.
Very pretty.
Or what's the other one? The punch. What's the small punch?
Small punch cigar.
Yeah. Small punch.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Partica Short. Okay. Bring some Partica Shorts. Start us off light. And then we'll step into like maybe an EP Carrillo New Wave Connecticut, which is a little light, but it's got a little bit of balls
Man,
to
he's
it.
Thinking about this,
yeah, he is. But more.
And then once we get into the beef jerky side of things, I'm going to bring Headley Grange for the beef jerky side of things because that's got some complexity to it and it's got some meatiness to it.
Okay.
And then we're going to step into some Padrones, into like the 3,064 range, maybe.
The 3,000 is a perfect cigar.
That's the Toro, right?
Maybe a shorter than the Toro.
Yeah.
So it's like 4,000 the Toro? Because the number is based on the size, yeah.
All right, Randy.
Yeah.
You and me, we meet up in Phoenix. We're going to the California border. We're going to Pasadena, so we got about 4 or 5 hours.
Okay.
What are we starting off with? We started off with Mexican food for lunch. We started with Filibertos.
This is afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we're starting off in the morning and have a different smoke. We're starting off in the afternoon. Okay, we just finished Mexican food in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And we're driving to Pasadena. Okay.
No, I'm saying gonna leave a V because that's just too easy. Go ahead.
No. I'm more creative than that. We're going with the Macanudo Maduro. No, I'm joking. Anyway.
So, and Randy's out of the car.
No, we're starting with the Olla de Nicaragua 1970 Dark Corojo.
Which one? I like El Martillo.
That I like the Pellegrosa size.
They're all good. They're fucking
That's what we're starting with because we've just had a hearty meal and it's cheap. Because it's under $6. That Pellegrosa is under $6 and it's tasty as fuck. So we do that, and then when we're finished with that, and we still got a couple of hours left, we're smoking a...
Remember, you got to keep going forward. You can't go back. You can't just say we're starting at balls deep, and then we're going to take a step back and go to something creamy and delicious.
No. I'm fully aware of that. That's where I'm going. I'm not thinking. Okay. Because we're good friends, and we don't smoke the cigar enough, I would pull out a Rocky 92 Churchill. And that would get us almost to Pasadena.
Yeah.
And then we'd finish off with an Ezra Zaya Tantrum.
Tantrum, yes.
I didn't even ask for that.
But yeah. I'm serious. I
said the same when you said it was like a short smoke, you only got a certain amount of time. Tantrum.
And that would be three incredible smokes to smoke back to back. And I will do that. Yeah. In the next month, I will do that progression. I will do the Olla de Nicaragua Pellegrosa, Rocky 92 Churchill, Ezra Zaya Tantrum. And I will smoke those three back to back. Because I know that would be an orgasmic experience.
You know what? I would almost probably, at this point, I would probably replace the EP Carrillo with the AF2.
I like the AF1 better than the
AF2. But it's stronger than the AF2.
Have you guys tried the Suave?
Mm-hmm. I haven't tried the Suave. Oh, you know what we want to try? And you got to find it for us. There's a Nomad Connecticut that's supposed to be like a balls to the walls Connecticut.
Is it his limited edition? His limited. I've got one at the house.
We're gonna try that,
dude. Fred's a cool dude, man.
I'm asking if we can get because
he's a fan of the show. See if we can get some.
I like the Connecticuts, but I like them when they have a little something extra. That's why I like the New Wave Connecticut. To me, that's
and we still haven't done our farewell.
We still haven't done the series.
That should be 69.
That should be 69.
Oita Nicaragua did a 1970 Antonio called the Series C. It was the Antonio cigar with a Connecticut wrapper, and it was the greatest Connecticut that I've ever had in my entire life because it was kick you in the nuts while I'm drinking cream. It was the greatest creamy cigar of all time. And we've got three left, and so one for Matt, one for me, and one for Brandon. And we've reached out to listeners. We've gone on the internet. It's gone. First thing when Drew Estate took over Olla de Nicaragua, the first thing they did was eliminate the Series C. And Matt was livid because he loved it. I loved it. We had a lot of customers that loved it. And Jonathan, Drew, and Marvin came into the store and we're like, what the fuck? Why did you get rid of that cigar? And he's like, because people would buy it thinking it's Connecticut and it would kick them in the ass and they wouldn't buy it again. And they're like, yeah, but we told people. And he's like, that's what he said. He goes, nobody does that though.
But people do that now. They were ahead of their time. Yeah. Now it's like EP, you know, the EP Carrillo New Wave was Connecticut that had some balls to it. Yeah. And then now everything since then, Nomad's been putting them out. There's a bunch of people putting those out where it's Connecticut.
Look at the Camacho with, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a kick in the balls, dude. Yeah.
Did you ever have that JDN Series C? Good. It's got the 1970 band, but it's a Connecticut. Yeah, and I'm so worried that after all the talk, and it's been aged at least 5 years, it's not going to be as tasty as it was when we first
had it. How it works out is it's like this with Coca-Cola and Pepsi. Mm-hmm. Discontinued cigar, you get enough people that are like, dude, I'm hammering for this cigar. Mm-hmm. They bring that cigar back out, and the best thing that could happen is that there's an honest representation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because so many times you're like, dude, like Punch Rare Corojo. That cigar first came out, and you were like,
which isn't Corojo, which isn't Corojo,
yeah,
nor is it rare.
Not anymore.
It's Sumatra, and Sumatra is not rare.
Why they call it the rare Corojo, I've never understood that.
It's a good cigar.
With a little bit of age, I put it up against a lot of other sticks, man. Yeah. It's still a great stick.
And this is the thing, it's so hard to pick because there's so many cigars that I like. Like, I go into my humidor, and I know I've got some favorites. I know that I can always grab this, and I'm going to love it. Mm-hmm. And it's all over the place, man. Yeah. I mean, it depends on the day of the week and the mood that I'm in. It really does, you know?
I'll say something about this EHG real quick. If money weren't an issue, I would smoke this thing every day. This is tasty.
This is fucking smooth and delicious.
Best Ashton by far.
If we have ribeyes for dinner, we'd still compete.
Yeah.
You know, we're at Chamberlain's. You get the corn. You got those crazy Oriental
or
Asian.
Or Bob's Steak and Chop with the big carrot and the mashed potatoes.
Big carrot. Yeah. You need something that's going to still have some mad flavor, and this really does have all the mad flavor.
Yeah, it's good.
Great construction. I mean, when it comes to torpedoes myself, I cut off just enough to justify all the things that I say about people that cut off way too much.
Yeah.
You know, you're a bitch.
Yeah. Mm. I cut off enough to get a good draw. That's
getting
all.
A great
I
draw.
Cut off
line,
enough.
Yeah.
But draw's never been an issue. My burn has been almost razor. Mm-hmm. I had a great ash at one point.
It definitely, I mean, I could definitely see it being worth the money because it's just a well-constructed, tasty cigar. Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, money's not an issue and somebody said, hey, let's go grab some ESGs.
Yeah.
Sit out in the backyard and smoke them. I'd be like, fuck yeah. Who's buying the bourbon?
Right.
Or the scotch. I need somebody to do that. I'll buy these ESGs.
Exactly.
But no, this is by far the best Ashton I've ever had. This is incredible. It beats the ESG or the VSG.
You know,
it beats the cabinet.
I had the VSG. Now that was I did a 3-year stint where all I smoked was Padron.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then one day I got a VSG Spellbound, mm-hmm. the Double Corona.
Yeah, that's a good. That's the best VSG.
Oh my gosh! I took a nap afterwards and I woke up and you wake up and you're like. And I still had a nasal passage full of that you know, it resonated.
You're like, I need another one of these.
And
yeah.
I just thought, I don't know how Jesus himself could replicate the smell that's in my nose.
Okay,
that's something you get when you go to heaven, maybe.
What's crazy is that while it is creamy, mm-hmm. it does have a buttload of spice.
Yeah, it does. And it's got some flavor to it, for sure.
Yeah. By far the best tasting Ashton I've
ever
had.
It's like reading roots through your nose.
Reading roots through your nose.
It had to be probably a Churchill for it to be roots, maybe, but yeah.
Nate, roots was a thing about Arthur Haley in the 70s about slavery.
Alex Haley.
Alex Haley. Did I say Arthur? Alex Haley, I'm sorry.
The guy from Reading Rainbow was in it.
No, Freddie Boom Boom Washington was in it also.
He was, anyway. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back for the last third.
All right, so we're back for the last segment of the Ashton ESG. And if you noticed,
we changed clothes.
We changed clothing. And Brandon Holdsworth's not here.
We got rid of him.
Yeah,
we
he's here for the last segment. But we had a couple of things we didn't cover, and we wanted to make sure we covered those things. First off,
our sponsored segment, the AJ Fernandez Sports Fiverr. Fiverr, not Fiverr. Should I talk a 1920s reporter voice?
Yes, you should.
No. We'll try to make this national, but the Cowboys got decimated yesterday by a terrible injury to their best defensive player. And ironically enough, it was their first-round draft choice in his very first practice that hurt Sean Lee, who's the middle linebacker for the Cowboys. And about the only decent defensive player they have on their roster, out for the season. First practice of the season.
And how much are we paying this guy?
He signed like a $40 million contract last year. good move, Jerry.
$40 million
now,
to sit on
like,
his ass.
I don't remember how much of it is actually guaranteed. I think it's probably 16 to 20 that's guaranteed.
Okay.
But still, it's 16 to 20 million he's getting
to sit on,
to
his,
sit
ass.
On his ass and rehabilitate his injury.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to feel horrible for the rookie. Mm-hmm. When it's his first NFL practice, he hurts the star player of the defense.
Yeah.
Not good. And then the Rangers... have just been decimated by injuries. Prince Fielder's out for the season,
mm-hmm.
who we just signed for $17 million a year for the next 7 years.
Yep.
Ouch. Of course, their pitching staff has been destroyed. Yu Darvish had to miss a start last night. Derek Holland, their second best pitcher, has yet to pitch, won't be pitching until late July, early August.
Mm-hmm.
You have a club foot.
Yeah.
I had the dreaded high ankle sprain last year that's still not completely healed.
So we just started talking about our injuries and then said, hey, you know, all these sports guys are getting injured.
Yeah, and
let's talk about that.
And it happens, you know, it happens to every team every year, but the Rangers have already had like 19 people go on the disabled list this season.
What amazes me, and this, I don't understand it. These guys are supposed to be in peak physical condition.
Yeah.
They work out all the time. Mm-hmm. Yet I've heard like how many guys hurt themselves sleeping?
Yeah.
It's like the sleeping injuries, like they slept wrong or something. It's like, how the hell do you do that if you're in that good a shape? I mean, they got to be booking these guys in, like, super expensive hotels and stuff. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with
just through training. Are you training correctly? Are you training properly? Are you hydrating yourself? Especially in baseball, when it's played in the summer, you've got to hydrate or you'll pull muscles. And, you know, you pull a hamstring, you're out for a month.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that has a lot to do with it. And
plus, maybe the maintenance, like once they've done the actual, you know, all the practice and stuff, if they didn't do the proper thing that they're supposed to do, like right. ice up and do right. all this other stuff, then maybe they wake right. up feeling like crap the next day or something. I don't know.
And Yu Darvish is a stiff neck. He dealt with that in spring training, fought through it, is having a really good year. But then he just missed another start. And he is the Rangers pitching staff at this point. That's about all I got right now. Oh, Derek Collin, I was going to tell his story. He tripped over his dog and fell down the stairs, and that's how he blew out his
like,
knee.
Kind of like how you messed up your ankle. Your high ankle sprain.
Try to keep from killing your dog.
Yep, thank you for that.
But you're welcome. I like your dog. So he tripped over his dog, and so that's how he got hurt and blew out his knee. And it's just, you know, injuries happen to every team every year, but it just seems like the city of Dallas or the Metroplex it's just going through a really bad luck period.
They're
right
getting
now.
Kicked in the balls Absolutely. Pretty hardcore right now.
Absolutely.
And it makes me wonder, because I mean, I know, you know, I work in corporate America and you work in the business. And when we get sick, we have some sick time, sure, but it's a very limited amount of sick time.
Right.
And then if you run out of sick time, you don't get paid. So shouldn't that kind of be the same with these guys and how much we're paying them to do something, especially if they're starting and they haven't done anything yet?
You got to remember they're union jobs.
Nah.
There's an NFL players union. There's a Major League Baseball players union.
Mm-hmm.
So their contracts, well, baseball contracts are guaranteed, period.
Yeah.
Like if Prince Fielder never plays again, he's got 7 more years of $17 million coming his way.
Jeez. Unions, man. Yeah. I think union's just another weird way to spell assholes. Pretty much.
Unions are like regulations in that when they started out, they were a good thing.
Yeah.
But then they just grow and grow and grow, and then they just become nightmares.
Yeah.
And, you know. Jerry Jones signs this guy for $40 million, and he's toast for the season.
That's
horrible. He never should have signed this guy for that kind of money anyway. Even though he is the best player on the team, he's only played in half the games that the Cowboys have played in since he was drafted.
Yeah,
he's missed over half the games.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So Jerry goes, here, let's give this guy a big contract.
Yeah.
Nice, Jerry.
Good job.
He sucks. So anyway, that's our AJ Fernandez sports. Fiverr, sponsored by Todd Vance. Nate's like, Sports Fiverr?
That's what we're calling it.
That's
Shut
what
the
we're
fuck
calling
up.
It, man.
Fuck up, Nate.
Are you looking up the Royal Gold?
No, because you tell me what you're smoking.
Royal Gold Nirvana.
So we also wanted to give our shout-outs, because we didn't do that in this particular episode. So we do have a lot of shout-outs, and we wanted to talk about the cities.
Yeah, we haven't done the cities in a while. We've been promising it. Okay, so Twitter. Once again, I apologize in advance if I mispronounce anybody's name. Casey Hognon Crux, Cigar Deep Nate, whom you're going to meet here in a little bit, Tracy Mason, Bobby K. Colodi, Zombie Five Rager, and Zombie Riot, Dark Works D. Well C. So it's three film reviews things that have followed me.
Cool.
A. Tassin, he's been, I thought he was following us for a long time.
Yeah, A. Tassin, yeah.
10 Lighters. Jessica Cameron, C&M Cigars, Sticks and Whiskey, Widow Sun Cigar, Battleground Cigars, Skeegee Shack, and Scott Koniak. Hey, Scott Koniak's coming into town in a couple
he
of
is.
Weeks.
I have some new followers, too, that I want to go ahead and mention. Okay. King Shit. Love it.
King Shit. Nate had one of those this morning.
Infliction. I think we all have one. I have several a day. I have a king and a couple of princes, at least. Infliction, Texas. Adolf Twitler.
Nice. Oh, my God. Shaggy, I love that person already now.
Shaggy Feets. Evan. Some guy named Nate Rowland. Bayou Humidors.
Cigar Deep Nate. He didn't give you a Twitter handle.
Yeah, Cigar Deep Nate. I didn't get a follow from that, I guess. And I do have one person that continually retweets our stuff beyond Scott Koniak. It's that Jana.
Yeah.
Her girl. Yeah. We never say thanks to Jana. So.
Because she tweets on
the retweets.
She retweets yours. She doesn't retweet my stuff.
Oh, okay. So thanks, Jana.
Thank you, Jana.
Tweet.
Okay, so on Facebook, we've got Narda Kazkar, TF Cigars, and, of course, Jeff Hirschauer. YouTube, Kirk from Poolside Cigar Reviews, Eric Filp, the great Gary Griffith from House of Emilio, and Chris Grubbs. And Chris Grubbs had a nice compliment on our show, even though he was arguing with you. He didn't say, that we do a good show.
So yeah, he likes the show.
Thank you, Chris Grubbs.
Grubbs.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, now our top 10 cities, and boy, have they changed. Scott Cognac, you're not number one anymore.
Ooh, okay. Falling down.
Number 10 is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Number 9, New York, New York. 8 is Nashville, Tennessee. 7 is Boston, Massachusetts. I'm going to quit counting. And then we got Washington, D.C. Minneapolis, Minnesota. At number 4, Wichita, Kansas. My, how the mighty have fallen.
Number 4.
4.
Wow. Scott, you can't come visit unless you're number 1.
Yeah, you got to get back to number 1. We don't deal with number 4s. I'm joking. Aurora, Illinois is number 3. Columbus, Ohio, number 2. And our new number 1, and I'm shocked because it's barely even made the list before. But it was big time number 1.
Wow.
We're like 40 more downloads than number 2.
Wow.
Is the great Phoenix, Arizona.
Thanks, Phoenix.
Thank you, Top 10 Cities.
Very nice, very nice. And now back to our regularly scheduled program.
We're back with the Calypso Cigar Review with your hosts, Brandon Luna and Randy Rankin. Gentlemen.
All right. Okay, so we were going to tell the Frightmare story to Brandon because he hadn't heard it. But we'll modify it because our listeners have heard it ad nauseum.
You're talking about the Robert Patrick?
Yeah, it's gotten shitloads of views.
Yeah.
Okay, so Robert Patrick from Terminator 2 was
there. Played the T-1000. He was the bad guy Terminator.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
the big ears.
Fast guy. Yeah, that guy.
He was real thin. He was like...
He played Johnny Cash's dad in Walk the Line. He's been in a bunch of stuff. Anyways, he comes over. He interviewed us kind of like you're doing. He grabs Brandon's microphone, jerks it out of his hand.
Fucks it up.
Turned it off.
Yep.
But we don't know this. And he interviews us. So all the only audio you get is from Nate videoing it. And it sounds so loud, but he gave us a bumper where he actually said... This is Robert Patrick. Listen to Calypso Cigar Review, Stay Strong America. And it was like, fuck, we don't have that. Because the audio was fucked up on it. But that dude was cool as shit.
He was way cool. And that's the thing. Is we didn't meet anybody there that was not cool. Everybody was just like way nice.
When you get into niche markets like that, I mean, you got the guys that are into horror films. And you know what? They're not mainstream to begin with.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. I mean,
so when you get into the mainstream, you know, the niche market that's also part of your market, that's where a lot of love affair happens, because you're like, oh shit, I also like horror movies, and we both smoke cigars.
Yep.
We're family.
Well, yep. Mark Ralston was I rewatched that, because I watched it the first night, and I'd been drinking, and I didn't pay attention to it.
Yep.
I've since watched it kind of sober. That dude was super friendly to you.
Super nice.
He was a cigar smoker. He was in Supernatural and Aliens.
And we had a lot of conversation off camera that was just all about what he smokes. And then we had an interview and everything.
Then we had an interview with a guy that Kevin S. Tenney that only became about because Brandon was interviewing somebody else, and I just started talking to the guy, and we started talking about movies and everything. And I was like, wow, this should be recorded. So I recorded it, and once again, I turned off the mic on this one. That was my bad. You couldn't even salvage the audio on that.
Yeah, it was Saturday, and it was way too loud in there.
Is this cigar picking up in strength?
Yes,
it is. I'm telling you right now. I got the hiccups right now.
I'm just hitting it, and I'm like, holy shit, this thing's kicking my ass right now.
This is the best Ashton ever.
Yeah.
I might spend $25 again to buy this cigar. It is that good.
I work for another cigar company, but now this thing's hitting right now, and I'm feeling the strength just getting through those.
And you represent a company that almost every cigar is full body.
Is balls deep.
Yeah.
And this cigar right now, I'm puffing on it, and I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
I might talk trash to Jared because he's my hero. And he wears seersucker suits, but this thing is damn good.
Okay, you know, we tease...
Where does he find seersucker suits?
You know we tease...
He's got to have those custom made or something.
We tease Gordon from Rocky Patel, and hopefully we can... I need to get my phone working, because we got that event next week with Rocky.
Why is your phone not working?
No, I mean to figure out how to record.
Oh, yeah,
I need to record
an
interview with Rocky, or with Gordon. We tease Gordon for being the best-dressed man.
He is the best-dressed man in the cigar
world. And he looks like the most interesting man... In the world.
His shoes are badass.
Everything
his shoes
about
cost more than I make.
But you met his wife?
No.
Mary is, when I met her, I was the manager over at Chamberlain's. And I'm going to tell you, man, for every bit that I love Gordon, his wife is 10 times more awesome.
Wow. Really? And that's awesome because Gordon's amazing. And by the way, we've mentioned Chamberlain's a bunch of times. That's a very high dollar steak and prime rib place here. And it's a Dallas suburb, Addison, maybe.
Yeah.
5330 Beltline Road.
Actually, it's on the Dallas side of the tollway, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's actually a Dallas address, but you can smoke in there?
They've got it worked out because of the zip codes.
Okay.
Don't be surprised if...
Because Dallas has that stupid if you're not a bar, And even if you are a bar, you probably can't smoke in it.
It's but you can still smoke and have prime rib and great steak, and it's one of the last locations.
Yeah, and Chamberlain's is amazing. It's I've been there. It's awesome. Very good. I'm a Bob's Steak and Chop guy myself, but if you want to take me to Chamberlain's tomorrow, let's go.
I mean, Bob's or Chamberlain's are both great.
Yeah, they're amazing. Great, yeah.
They kick Ruth Chris in the ass.
Hard yeah, oh, absolutely.
I agree. 100 times. I worked for all three.
Yeah.
Texas steakhouses are legend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when I go out to Phoenix or I go to Kansas City, I mean, everyone, they don't talk about Texas barbecue because we don't have a whole lot of options here in North Texas.
Now, barbecue is North Carolina, Memphis, and St. Louis, or Kansas City. That's barbecue.
Salt Lake.
We're good.
Pretty damn good.
We're good at it. But Texas is steaks.
Texas is beef. Yeah, steak.
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 Steak. Steak. Steak is Texas. Mm. And if you're in Texas, go to Bob's or Chamberlain's. They're both amazing.
Yeah.
What's the other one? What's one you like?
Make clothes, man. The one I like to close is Sullivan's. Sullivan's was badass.
Oh, Sullivan's was good.
I used to work at that Sullivan's on the tollway.
I went to a cigar bin at Sullivan's.
That place was badass.
It was the uppercut release. And for some reason, I got an invite. Matt didn't get an invite. None of our customers got an invite. For some reason, I got an invite on the on an email. I went, okay, let's go. It's the uppercut release.
My career.
Oh, yeah?
Cool. It was an uppercut release. So I get there, and Kenny, who we never talk about Kenny. Kenny is awesome.
Kenny Bourne?
Yes.
Man's a legend. He's been
He's the general cigar rep. He's the coolest shit dude. And he walks over to me, and he goes, hey, Randy. Once again, I was shocked that he knew my name, but he's a good sales rep. And he's like, hey, Randy. He's like, you're going to be very disappointed. I'm like, why? He goes, we're out of uppercut. I'm like, well, that's why we're here. He's like, I know. And it was here, and he gave me a sampler, and it was all four Macanudo regulars. I didn't care. It was fine. I was like, I smoked them.
I'm here, people. But, let's get some martinis.
But I wanted to smoke the uppercut because that was the what
they
I was there for.
Green apple martini there.
It was
that
freaking
was
phenomenal.
Chain,
I know.
I'm not a sissy guy, but
I know. That was the first time I had one. I was like, this is badass. And I had it a second time somewhere else that wasn't good.
You kicked Kirk from Poolside Cigar Reviews in the nuts for drinking watermelon beer. And they were talking about drinking apple martinis.
Green apple martini. That shit was badass, though.
I'm not here to talk bad about anybody. When it comes to me, I'm here to uplift.
That's right, right.
David Letterman said he had a bunch of his no-smoking buddies that got a hold of him. Mm-hmm. And he said that he quit smoking for a short period of time and that life became black and white. He said there was no color in my life, there was no mm-hmm. flavor in my life, and that he came back to smoking cigars just because that was where all of his enjoyment was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it comes to these FDA regulations, you know, Jack Nicholson's putting this thing out there right now. Saying,
yeah, and God bless Jack Nicholson. He's fighting for it.
He is the only one of them that's coming forward. You got all these
celebrities. Where's Tom Selleck?
Where's Schwarzenegger?
Where's Schwarzenegger?
I know, right?
You know what? You got these guys that are saying, no guns, I'm going to be real quiet. You got to remember, man, they take away the rest of your rights. You got to start making a stand for everything or you're going to stand for nothing.
Yeah.
As Ben Franklin said, we should all hang together, or rest assuredly, we will hang separately.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we come to the end of another Calypso Cigar Review with Brandon Luna, Randy Rankin, .. and Brandon Cornelius Holdsworth.
And Nate Rowland.
And Big Nate.